Lord Jesus Christ, you really are Lord of all. You are the cornerstone, actually, of the universe. You created it, and by your will and by your power and presence, you sustain the world and the universe and our own lives. And you are the cornerstone of our faith. You came into the world to die for our sin, to give us new life. We praise you and we worship you this New Year's Day. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, this morning we're going to have our Bible talk in two little short sections. Here comes the first one. I've got a couple of questions for you. I'd like you to turn and have a conversation with the person sat next to you. You may never have met them before, in which case, wish them a happy New Year. Ask them who they are. Have a little bit of a short chat. Get to know each other. Very, very rappy luck, speed dating, I suppose. I got a couple of questions for you to talk about with each other. And the questions are these, and you can do them whatever order, but you can talk, as long as you talk around the general theme, okay? You don't have to answer the questions in detail or so specifically. But who do you think was the most influential person in 2022, last year? And who do you think is going to be the influencers? We use that phrase, don't we? Influencers. Who do you think are going to be the big influencers in 2023 in the year ahead? And why do you think these things? Have a conversation with those sat next to you. Go. Right, okay. Was that enough time? You got it, so yeah, well, it's good. Okay, thanks, Dan. Someone's with me. Anyway, my wife's listening. It's good. Well, this morning we're going to talk and think about two very, very influential people, two very powerful people indeed. And we're going to think about the first one now. Both of them were kings. And our first king, let's think about his birth, his life, and his kingdom. First of all, his birth. Our first king was born on the 23rd of September, 63 BC, 63 years before Jesus was born. And there's a picture of his birthday cake. Well, that's how I'd have done it for him anyway. He was from a very powerful family, and his dad was a very important government official. This meant that he was born probably in a very posh house. If he'd been born in Sheffield, he'd been born in Dore or Fulwood or somewhere, or Ranmore, somewhere like James. You were born in Ranmore, weren't you? He'd have been born next door to James the like. And he had lots of servants. And as a baby, he had probably had a very, very fancy cot indeed with luxurious sheets. Picture of his cot coming up. Or is it already there? There we are. Fancy cot in front of the fire. Probably a bit dangerous, but there we go. His name was Gaius Octavianus. Anyone heard of him? James and Louise have, because they've done their history. Life for Gaius was very good indeed. He had a very famous uncle. And I bet you have heard of him. Have you heard of Julius Caesar? Yeah, you're all nodding. Julius Caesar, Roman geezer. Squashed his nose in a lemon squeezer, that fella. Yeah. Okay, Julius Caesar. Picture of him coming up on the screen. There he is. Bit stiff there, isn't he? At the age of 16, Gaius was adopted by Uncle Julius. Uncle Julius made sure Gaius went to the very best schools. He had the very best training opportunities possible, so that in the end, Gaius became a very mighty and successful general. When Gaius was 33 years of age, both our kings, something happened around the age of 33, all right? When Gaius was 33, Uncle Julius, well, what happened to Uncle Julius? Anyone know from history books? What happened? He he was murdered, all right? This made Gaius obviously very upset indeed and very angry. So he avenged all of the Uncle Julius's enemies, And on the 16th of January, 27 BC, real history, Gaius became Roman emperor. All right, picture of him on the screen there. At the time, he changed his name to Augustus. And Augustus means increasing majesty. See, he'd done so well, he got bigger and more important throughout his life, and he decided to call himself Increasing Majesty. So that's his birth, that's his life. What about his kingdom? The symbol of Augustus's kingdom was an eagle, the Roman eagle. Picture of that on the screen there. A symbol of power and influence and status. And that eagle was carried all around the known world by the Roman soldiers around the empire. And Augustus was emperor for 41 years. And during that time, he built roads. He crossed seas and lands. He conquered nations. He developed art and education and trade and politics. In fact, what Caesar Augustus did then still influences our lives now. It does. He was an influencer. Some of the people who do influencing stuff on social media, seriously, they've got nothing on this fella. He really was the influencer. He changed one of the months of the year. Do you know which one? You're ahead of me. August, yeah. And he added an extra day to it. It used to have 30 days. He gave it 31, which is why we have a bit of a hiccup around February time. It was all thanks to him. He changed our calendar. Towards the end of the life, people said of Augustus, a man has become a god. What about the Bible? Augustus comes in the Bible. Luke chapter 2. Augustus had huge power and such influence over people's lives. All he had to do was give the command for a census for everyone in this entire empire to leave their homes and go on long journeys to register in the places where their families originally came from. He had that kind of power over people's lives, and he wanted to register so he knew exactly who was who, where they were, and where they came from. Seriously, that is power. Brutal power. So if we went back to the time of Augustus and we said, who has the most power and the influence in the world today? If we asked that question then, who's the biggest influencer? The obvious answer was Augustus, the man whose rule is symbolized by an eagle. He is from an influential family, great connections, lots of opportunities, a successful career, lots of money, huge political power, armies and weapons. And the evidence is right there in the Bible. And Judith's going to come and read our reading, part one now. So over to Judith. The words have come up on the screen in English and Farsi for us to follow along.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
Thanks very much indeed. Our musicians and singers are going to come out again. We're going to sing. Augustus had great power, and he shifted Mary and Joseph a long way. Did Mary want to go on that journey? No. Did Joseph think, yeah, hey, we're going on a hot holiday? No. No. Their lives were on the influence of somebody else with great power at the point when they least needed it. I wonder how you feel about the next year. Who's going to be controlling your life? Are you happy about it? There's plenty of cruel people out there, and we've got plenty of people in our church who have fled from cruel people. We've got to trust Jesus is in charge, and our next song picks that up. Be bold, be strong.
Sit down.
Back in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Judith, thank you very much indeed for reading our reading again. Well, we come to our second king. We thought about our first one, but just to get us thinking again, let's go back to the questions we asked at the start. Who has most influence over your life? But I want to shape the question. You just have a conversation, a chat with the person sat next to you or in your families. Who do you wish didn't have any influence over you and why? Okay. Who do you wish did not influence your life and why? Just have a little chat about that. Okay, let's call it quits there before we get too depressed thinking about all the people that we wish weren't in our lives. Come back to the front, please. Yeah, we thought about our first king, the great influencer, Caesar Augustus. Let's move to the second king and think about his birth, his life, his power and his influence and his kingdom. Our second king today, well, you know, you're already ahead of me. He was born around 2,000 years ago, and there's a picture of his birthday cake. He was not from a powerful or a well-connected family. In fact, he was from a very poor family, and he wasn't born in a posh house, and he wasn't dressed in silk pajamas as a little one, and he wasn't laid in a cozy crib. But he was actually put in an animal trough, which is pretty disgusting when you think about it. As we've already just heard in our reading, our two kings' paths actually crossed in history when our first king made his decree that everyone went back to the place where they came from to register in that census. That's when our second king was born. His mother Mary and stepfather Joseph were forced by our first king, Augustus's orders, to travel that long journey at a time of his birth, which is why he ended up in such an unsafe place to have a baby. That's why he was born in that unsafe place. His name, of course, is Jesus. The start of his life was very different to Augustus. What about how his life went on? His life was very different too. King Jesus did not grow up in a palace, but as a carpenter. He was in an obscure little town in a small corner of Augustus's great empire. And I guess from his home or from his carpenter's workshop, he every so often saw the sun glinting on the armor of Augustus's soldiers, and perhaps even that golden eagle as it passed by, that symbol of absolute power. When Jesus was 19, or about 19, Augustus died. And then at the age of 30, Jesus left home, not to become a hero, but to become a traveling preacher. But unlike Augustus, he never left his tiny little hill country, which was just a small little fraction of Augustus's entire empire. So that's his life. What about his kingdom? The symbol of Jesus' empire was not a sign of power or influence or status, quite the opposite. Instead of being a sign of status, it was a sign of being the very, very disgusting bottom a criminal who deserved to die on a cross. The exact opposite of the great eagle. Jesus chose a cross. The Romans had invented the cross as a cruel way of putting criminals to death. But the cross, over the last 2,000 years, has become a symbol of love. People wear it around their neck. People give the cross as gifts to each other, as something that is beautiful, that symbolizes love. And where does all that come from? Because it was the place that God demonstrates his love for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So where the symbol of Augustus's reign was one of repression and force, the symbol of Jesus' reign is one of humility and sacrifice that brings forgiveness and freedom and hope to his citizens, not repression. Love that brings hope, where sinners are forgiven and receive eternal life. Coming to the Bible, birth, life, the kingdom of Jesus, the Bible. Who do you think are the most powerful people in the world today? What was the name that you just talked about a moment ago about the person that you wished did not have influence in your life, but has got influence in your life? There are, as Andy prayed earlier on, plenty of cruel people, cruel influencers, cruel powerful people, selfish, unkind people in our world. And they get everywhere. They're not just in other parts of the world, they creep right into our own lives. And maybe you have been a cruel person yourself to others. See, we sometimes will think, rightly and understandably so, that people like Augustus have great power in the world. People who are born into influential families, who have a birthright, who've got good connections and lots of opportunities and successful careers and lots of money and political power, people with armies and the latest weapons, we think of as the most powerful. And how does that make us feel? It makes us feel anxious and fearful and hopeless and even angry. The birth of Jesus tells us to take a closer look at reality. We look at those people, we fear them, but that is not all there is to see. There is a wider and a bigger reality. A famous prophet in the Old Testament, his servant stood next to him and was in great fear because he saw the armies of the prophet's enemies all stood around about to attack and kill him. And the prophet Elisha said to his servant, look up. And they looked up and he saw the host of heaven, the host of God's armies. And that's what we need to do today. And that's what Luke chapter 2, 1 to 7 tells us to do. We see powerful people moving individuals about, but take a bigger look. What's really going on? Who really is in control? See, hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, there was an ancient prophecy. It is on the screen. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Bethlehem was a really tiny, little, unheard of place till Jesus made it famous. From you shall come forth for me, for God, one who is to be ruler in Israel. That is, a great king will come. In fact, God's greatest king of kings, the promised one who's been promised long, long time, even before Micah made this prophecy, prophesied a coming in of old, prophecies from old, the ancient in the ancient of days is coming. Here is the stunning fact that Luke chapter 2 is telling us. God could have chosen any young woman already living in Bethlehem through whom to bring in his son. He could have done that. All the options were open to him. But he didn't. He did not choose to do that. He chose Mary and Joseph, who've lived in Nazareth in the north, and Bethlehem's in the south. And although everyone thought Augustus was displaying his power and influence at the time of that census, moving ordinary people around his empire, he was simply doing what God's word said. What rules the world? God, by his word and by his spirit. At God's bidding, God made Augustus do what he did so that Mary, young Mary, would travel and fulfill God's prophecy from the past. Right place, right time, fulfilling God's ancient word and God's plans coming true for the birth of his son into the world. And the symbol of King Jesus' kingdom is not one of power and influence, but the cross, which speaks God is God of humility. God is a God of sacrifice and love that brings forgiveness and hope and eternal life to all who believe in him. Jesus is the most influential person over the world. Now, I know most of us, when we came to church, we already knew that. But guaranteed it, in 2022, you doubted it probably every day in some way, shape or form. And in 2023, you will doubt it again in all sorts of ways. Please, let's listen to God today. Let's remind each other as a church family and in our families, remind visitors who are here today but will be gone back home tomorrow. Keep reminding each other who really is in charge. So let me close with some past, future, and present people. In 2023, there will be past people who want to drag us back to our faults in the past and to our failures and to our sins. And we will feel that we have to do what they say. We don't, because there is a king on the throne, and it is not them, it is Jesus, whose symbol of reign is a cross. There is in Jesus forgiveness for the past, so no one else can influence in the future. We must believe that. We must take that home today. And then there's, yeah, past people coming and reminding us of future people who will make life difficult for us. People who will want to undermine our faith. People who might want to laugh at us for our faith. People who will frustrate us. People who, a moment ago, you said to one another, you wished weren't in your life. They will stay in our lives. But they're not in charge. Jesus is in charge. There is a hope for the future in Jesus, who died and rose again to give us eternal life. And then there's people in the present, people who will unsettle us, people who will lead us to anxiety, people who in your life right now you feel are trying to control you or manipulate you. They don't. You're Jesus's, and he rules, he reigns, and he is in charge of your life. So there is forgiveness of the past in Jesus. There is hope for the future, 2023, and every single day of this next year, there is peace in Jesus in the present. These are wonderful truths. Let's spend a moment, just half a minute, try and be as quiet as we can, half a minute, and let's quietly pray in our hearts that we would receive God's word about Jesus today, that God's spirit would help us believe it to be true for the rest of the day and for the year ahead. So half a minute of quiet to pray that in our minds and our hearts to the Lord God.